Well, we continue in our Revelation Bible study in your outline, that is section 20b, picking up in Revelation chapter 7 in verse 4. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. So we see here that the number can be counted. It is exactly 144,000, and these people are all Jews. They are of all the tribes of the children of Israel. There are no Gentiles in this group of 144,000. And these 144,000 witnesses of the gospel will minister in the future throughout the first half of the tribulation. So they're not here on earth now, but these are people who yet future will minister during that particular time period. These are not the 144,000 Jehovah Witnesses, as some like to teach, spiritualizing away the clear teaching of Scripture. These are 144,000 Jews. And we know which tribes they're from and what the breakdown is. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 5 through 8, we read, of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. So these 144,000 are sealed for protection, but they're also sealed for a commission, an evangelistic commission and service to God, a special commission, if you will. Notice in verse 8, we read of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Well, Manasseh is already included in verse 6, but Ephraim is absent. And since Ephraim was the principal inheritor of Joseph, the name Joseph and Ephraim sometimes is used interchangeably in the scriptures. We also see here that Levi is mentioned in here. And there are 12 tribes in Israel, but the 12th tribe of Joseph was actually split between Ephraim and Manasseh. So in Israel, you ended up with 13 tribes, but then Levi was taken as priests by the Lord. So there are only actually 12 that have an inheritance, technically speaking. Well, since Levi is actually included in this particular place, that would mean that somebody is missing. And the tribe that is missing is Dan. And there has been plenty of speculation through the years with various commentators as to why Dan is not mentioned among these witnesses. But Scripture is silent as to why this is. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17, point 21 in your outline, the great multitude of the saved in heaven. So this is going to give us the results of the events of everything we've studied thus far with regard to the first half of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Revelation 7, 9 says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. So after these things, that is after the sealing and commissioning for special service of the 144,000 Israelites, and this, of course, connects their ministry to that of a soul harvest in the tribulation period as we get to the midpoint. And there's going to be a great revival in the tribulation according to God's mercy. And notice here that there's a great multitude which no one could number. So there's more than 144,000, because 144,000 could be numbered. In fact, the numbering of the demonic hordes is given in the book of Revelation, and that's numbered at 200 million, and we'll be taking a look at that in a little bit. So if 200 million can be numbered, then that means that there is something in excess of 200 million. So these are those of all nations who are redeemed. In other words, saved believers in Jesus Christ. Now in verse 10, let's read verses 10 through 12. "And crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." So this is what we're going to be doing for all eternity. This is the heavenly testimony of the redeemed. And again, these are those who are clothed with white robes. So in particular view here, it's the church age believer. That's you and I, if indeed you are a blood-bought believer of Jesus Christ and you've accepted His gracious offer of salvation from your sin. And what these redeemed are going to be doing is praising God and proclaiming His attributes and glory. Now, unbelievers would not like this if they were ever forced to do this any more than they like going to church and singing songs of praise on Sunday morning today. And so they've got free will now, but in that place there's not going to be a mixed multitude of saved and unsaved. In that place there are only the saved. The unsaved are still in the graves awaiting their whether their spirits are in torment, their bodies in the graves, and they're awaiting their appearing before the great white throne of God, where Jesus Christ is going to judge them based upon their works. And if they've committed one sin, guess what? They've fallen short. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's why we need a Savior, friends. That's why we all need Jesus Christ. But anybody who is going to try to get to heaven based upon their own goodness is in for a pretty rude awakening, and they're going to be facing the wrath of God. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 13. "And then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" Okay, so one of the elders, and these are one of the 24 elders, which we talked about before. These are church age saints. They're mentioned in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10, where we read, "The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne." And then in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, we read of the elders that they are saying, "For you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood." Well, the only people who are saying this at this particular time in the context are the seraphim, who are angels, and we know that Jesus didn't die for angels. So the only other people are the elders, and the elders are redeemed to God by the blood of Christ. And that tells us that these are men that are of the class of these elders. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14, "And I said to him, Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So here we're dealing with, again, the multitude of the saints, even those who are martyred. And it is the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, which has washed them clean. He has washed their sins white as snow. And this is exactly what He does for you and I, friends, and all we need to do is appropriate the blood. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, we read, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works and to serve the living God? And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant." Namely, what this is talking about is the law of Moses. "That those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Revelation chapter 7. Verses 16 and 17 reads, "And they shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And this idea of God leading and shepherding them to living fountains of waters calls to mind the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23, a beautiful, comforting psalm. Psalm 23 in verse 1 reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Verse 2, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." And the Lord does that for us in life, and He will surely continue to do this even as we pass from this place to the next for the believer. In Isaiah chapter 25, Isaiah 25 and verse 8, we read, "He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken." So this concept of God wiping away every tear from our eyes is something that finds its roots back in the Old Testament. As we've said many times, that the key to understanding Revelation is found in the rest of the Scriptures. And we can almost always find a correlation elsewhere in the Bible, many, many times in the Old Testament. And in Revelation chapter 21, in verse 4, we have a similar statement. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And in the context of Revelation chapter 21 and 22, we're dealing with the eternal state when God brings down a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth pass away. And this is going to be a great and glorious time for us. So now for a summation of the events of the first half of the tribulation. We read in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 through 14. Matthew 24, verses 9 through 14. Give us a sense of these times. We're actually going to be looking next time at the trumpet judgments. But now let's just do a summation here as we begin to get to the trumpet judgments, and the first half of the tribulation is winding down towards its end. So Jesus says, "And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." So this preaching of the gospel is going to be something that is going to be led by these 144,000 Jewish evangelists. Well, we do have a little bit of time, so let's look at Revelation chapter 8 in verse 1 and get the prelude for the next time. "And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour." So the seventh seal is open, and all in heaven stand at attention, for the trumpet judgments will now be revealed. And we're going to start looking at those in our next segment.